This is a recording for the Manuel Perez teleconference with IR Strat, Thursday, April 26, 2018, scheduled for 9 a.m. Central Time. Good morning and welcome to the first quarter 2018 Gentera conference call. I would like to turn the conference over to Enrique Barrera, the Investor Relations Officer of the company.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Gentera. I'm Enrique Barrera, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today are Mr. Enrique Mayol, Gentera's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Patricio Diez de Bonilla, Banco Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Mario Langarica, Gentera's Chief Financial Officer. They will review the results of Gentera for the first quarter period as per the report that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive a copy of the release or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. Please note that during this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer in our earnings release. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Mayol for his presentation. Enrique, please, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. We always appreciate your presence in our first quarter 2018 report. During this call, we will talk around the three priorities that we presented during our last call. We will review the most relevant information and data that shows that our action plan and strategy is starting to pay off. As you will see, we continue to have high confidence in our diagnosis, and more important, we are enthusiastic about the early results that we are starting to see. Let me start by reminding our three priorities once again. First, we are rebuilding our operational capabilities and competitive advantages in order to improve our product offers and customer service. Second, as a result from the previous point, we are concentrating on recovering customer growth with strong emphasis on quality control. Third, based on a better process to define priorities, we are implementing actions to improve our efficiency and return to higher income increase versus expenses increase. Patricio and Mario will go into the specifics, but let me mention some highlights for the quarter regarding Gentera's consolidated results. When comparing with last quarter, we grew 1% in clients and still we decreased 1.5% in portfolio. However, it is important to see an inflection point that took place during the quarter. For the first time after 13 months of decreasing in clients and in portfolio, we have had now two consecutive months of growth on both clients and portfolio. On a monthly basis, Gentera grew 0.2% on clients and 1% on portfolio from January to February, and from February to March, we grew 0.8% on both clients and portfolio. These results confirm what we said at the beginning of this year. On the first half of the year, we will stop the loss of clients and portfolio, and by the second half, we will recover our growth trend to move into a 2019 with double-digit growth. This quarter, we accomplished a relevant increase in our net income result compared with the fourth quarter 2017. Gentera's net income improved 93% and Banco Compartamos improved by 134% in this indicator. My colleagues will get you into more details on this, but clearly this is a result from an important improvement of the cost of provisions during the quarter. As we said, asset quality is a priority on our strategy. Let me now give you a quick overview on the results of the business unit. As I mentioned, Patricio, the CEO of Banco Compartamos, will fill you in with a deeper overview on our results in Mexico. Compartamos Peru continues to reaffirm the strategy and the benefits of going into other latitudes and bringing the group lending methodology as an effective tool for financial inclusion. Peru closed the quarter with 495,000 clients and 9.2 billion pesos in portfolio, which means 23% increase in clients and 20% increase in portfolio compared with the same quarter 2017. In local currency, soles, and compared with last quarter, Peru grew in clients and in portfolio by 3.7% and 3.2% respectively. Compartamos Guatemala closed the quarter with 94,000 clients and half a billion pesos in portfolio, which means 11% increase in clients and 5% in portfolio if we compare it with the same quarter 2017. We are thrilled about the proximity to reach two major milestones in our international operation: 100,000 clients in Guatemala and half a million clients in Peru. Aterna concluded the quarter with 5 million active life insurance policies, which represents a contraction of 3.8% compared with the first quarter 2017. This result is explained by the contraction of Compartamos credit customer base along the year. Yastas recorded in the first quarter more than 3.9 million transactions, 10% more than in the first quarter 2017. Intermex processes over 5.4 billion pesos in remittances payments, a 10% contraction compared with the first quarter 2017. The main factor that originated this contraction was due to the variation in the exchange rate between pesos and dollars. Finlab continues its work on disruptive innovation initiatives, and at the same time, it is supporting basic transformation initiatives that our business team in the bank is implementing this year. We are also proud of the results and achievements of our foundation, Fundación Gentera. Among other regular activities, during this quarter, we kept working on the economic recovery of the regions affected by the earthquakes that took place in Mexico last year. We are committed to the well-being of these clients and communities, which represent more than 40,000 people. Another positive note is the second place award we received yesterday from the Best Place to Work Institute. This is the 12th year we are recognized as one of the best places to work in Mexico in the category of more than 5,000 employees. We really thank our staff for their shared purpose and passion on eradicating financial inclusion. Before moving to Banco Compartamos more specific results, let me just update you about our investment process in Concredito and the results of our shareholders meeting that took place last week. Regarding Concredito, as you know, we are in the process of getting the formal approval from the Mexican Antitrust Commission, and everything looks good. If everything stays on track, our expectation is to get the formal approval by mid-year and then move forward with the transaction. Regarding the shareholders meeting, I am glad to inform you that every proposal we made and made the board for them was approved with vast majority support. Our stock buyback program was authorized and was increased by 100% from 700 million to 1.4 billion pesos. Also, a dividend payment of 1,084 million pesos was approved. The dividend will be paid in two exhibitions. 50% will be paid in June, and the remaining 50% will be paid in November 2018. Finally, let me also comment about our guidance for the year. At this point, and considering the early positive trends and results we have accomplished, we are maintaining our guidance for the year. However, we will continue to monitor our performance during the second quarter, and if we see the need to update our guidance, we will let you know at our next conference call. I will finish by saying that, as we recognized before, 2017 results were unacceptable. We are aware that we still have a lot of work to do and better results to deliver. However, we feel confident that our strategy is paying off and that we will continue delivering the results we have promised. As we have said, by the second semester of the year, we will show solid growth trends. In 2019, we'll show a double-digit growth as a result of concentrating our efforts on improving and transforming our business model based on the use of more and better digital technologies. Let me now turn the call to Patricio. He will take you through in more detail about Banco Compartamos first quarter results.
Thank you, Enrique, and thanks to our audience for your interest in Banco Compartamos. I would like to take you through some details of the main business indicators and the progress experienced in the past months. Firstly, as previously signaled in the previous conference call, after the deep analysis that we performed in the second semester of 2017, we detected many challenges that had to be addressed immediately. After the careful analysis, during the first quarter, we released many of these actions and improvements nationwide. These were, first, rebuilding the sales force, secondly, retrain the personnel, third, redesign the sales force incentives, four, redesign the marketing efforts, five, simplify the product offering, six, prioritize the initiatives that we had on the ground, seven, control the worst performing offices in Crédito Comerciante, and finally, restructure the collection efforts. Consequently, during the first quarter, we started to see progress in those initiatives, and we managed to stabilize some business indicators. Let me highlight some of them. First, number of customers grew in March versus February this year for the first time in 16 months. Despite this small growth, in the first quarter of 2018, Banco Compartamos lost 19,000 clients versus the fourth quarter of 2017. This is a much lower loss than those we experienced in the previous four quarters, in which we were losing between 60 and 125,000 clients per quarter. Second, at the end of this quarter, we experienced a 9.9% contraction in the loan portfolio, a smaller contraction if you compare with the 12.6% contraction presented in the previous quarter. Despite this contraction, net interest margin after provisions grew versus the first quarter of 2017, which reinforces our focus on growing with quality. Third, as you know, with the objective of improving customer experience, we decided to hire new personnel to be closer to the client base to better serve their needs. At the end of the first quarter 2018, we hired 750 additional loan officers with a clear objective of returning to the high levels of service that our customers deserve. With a stronger sales force, we have assured that weekly visits are managed by our personnel with a clear improvement in asset quality. Short-term NPLs is at its lower level in more than 24 months. We feel comfortable with the quality that our current portfolio has, and we will continue working hard to maintain stable levels of asset quality. As we mentioned since October, growth in this first half of the year will be moderate, since we still need to adjust the way we serve and interact with our clients as the full ramp-up of the 8 initiatives takes time to be fully implemented due to the duration of the portfolio. Growth in the portfolio and customers should accelerate in the second part of the year,
where the demand for credit is more robust, and by that time, we will be fully organized to follow such demand. In other strategic efforts, and at the end of this quarter, we have more than 1.6 million accounts with approximately 2 billion pesos in deposits, growing twofold compared with the 855 million pesos reached at the end of the first quarter of 2017. And finally, with regards to the use of Gentera's combined proprietary network, including Yastas correspondent and Banco Compartamos branches, 77% disbursement transactions and 42% of the collection of operations of Banco Compartamos were executed in Gentera's channel at the end of the quarter, compared with 81% and 47% in the previous quarter. We expect that this participation in Gentera channels will change in the coming quarters, as we are deciding to give additional flexibility to Banco Compartamos customers to execute those disbursements and payments in different channels that may result more convenient for them. The early indicators allow us to see that the plan is progressing in a good manner. We recognize that there are still things that can be improved, but we also know that the deep market understandability that we have will help us to return to the high levels of service that our customers demand. Again, thank you for your interest in Banco Compartamos. Let me now turn the call over to Mario Langarica, who will review Gentera's financial figures.
Thank you, Patricio, and good day to everyone. In this first quarter, interest income amounted to 5 billion pesos, representing a 2.4% reduction compared to the same period of 2017. This result is mainly driven by the contraction experienced in Banco Compartamos loan portfolio in 2007. Interest expense decreased 6.7% compared to the same period in 2017. This result is explained by the following reasons. One, a reduction in the loan portfolio implying a reduction in banking and market funding in Mexico, a combination of fixed and floating instruments, and three, growth in our client deposit base in Mexico, and four, a better cost of funding in Peru. As a consequence, net interest income showed a slight 2% contraction compared to first Q 2017, but net interest margin remained at the same level of 51.1%. Net interest margin showed a 3 percentage point reduction to the 54-point level reached in 4Q17. This reduction is explained as follows. One, smaller average loan portfolio, implying lower interest income. Two, an increase in interest expenses driven by the increase in the reference rate in Mexico. And three, a slight decrease in Banco Compartamos yield. As Enrique and Patricio already mentioned, asset quality is improving. Provisions went down 24.4% compared to first Q17 and 32.2% compared to 4Q17. Therefore, net interest margin after provisions improved to 43.8%. This result is driven mainly by a better performance in early NPLs. The cost of risk for this quarter amounted to 8.3%, which is below our full-year guidance, around 10.5%. It is very important to say that we are seeing positive trends. We want to be prudent and maintain our guidance until we have more evidence of a permanent performance. Fee expenses contracted 13.1% compared to first Q17. Due to the incremental use of our proprietary network versus third-party infrastructure. As Patricio mentioned before, as the number of transactions in Gentera's network probably changes in the coming quarters, further reduction in this expense line may be limited. Net fee income contracted 1.8% compared to first Q17 as a result of lower commission and fee income. Operating expenses grew 16.3% compared to first Q17. As explained in previous conference, this is explained by, one, the opening of new service offices and bank branches in 2017, which today, in aggregate, represent a network of 890 points of service. Two, hiring loan officers and back office employees related to this infrastructure expansion. And three, strategic and marketing initiatives such as our loyalty program in Mexico, which in this quarter represented 139 million pesos. The efficiency ratio for the quarter increased to 75.1% compared to first Q17, 66%. This level is in line with our full year guidance, but still above our mid-60s medium-term objective. Gentera reported net income of 726 million pesos, which represents a 93.6% growth compared to 375 million pesos reached in 4Q17, and a 28.6% contraction compared to the 1,070 million pesos reached in 1Q17. In terms of profitability, return on average equity and return on average assets stood at 17.1% and 6.8% respectively for this quarter. I would like to finish my remarks reinforcing our commitment to our different stakeholders, our clients, our community, our employees, our shareholders, and our society, with a very clear objective of generating shared value. Thank you for your attention, and please, operator, could we move on to the Q&A session?
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we would like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phones now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may press star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question will come from Ernesto Gabriando, Bank of America, Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, Enrique, Patricio, and Mario. Three questions from my side. My first question is on your NIM that experienced a reduction. Do you think this should continue given the high interest rate environment, or are you thinking to continue repricing the loan portfolio? Secondly, we noticed that provision charges were particularly low during the quarter, while the cost of risk improved to 8.3% of average loans. I noticed a good behavior in almost all segments except Crédito Comerciante. So should we think this is the new level for the cost of risk, or it should be trending up to your guidance of 10 to 11%? And which should be the segment pressuring this ratio? Finally, on my last question is in terms of competition. Recently, Tecreemos reached an agreement to acquire CAME. So this means the consolidation of two big players in the microfinance segment. It was interesting to see that we can have access to the press releases of both companies. And it surprised me that both are from Gentera. If yes, what are your plans to recover part of that market share? Thank you.
And Ernesto, this is Patricio. Let me jump to the competition question. As we talked in the past, competition in Mexico is very dynamic. No, we compete with hundreds of smaller competitors per region, per state, and as any other industry where competition flourished, there's a process of consolidation. No, we bought ConCrédito, Tecreemos it's buying CAME. And it's not surprising to anybody that years down the road, more opportunities such as those will be present in the marketplace. So we really think that going forward, regulated, efficient, transparent players will hold most of the financial assets or customers in the low-income segment. So, again, this is why we need to, again, reinforce service, our processes, our employees, to give better services to our customer and be the preferred option of this segment in not only in Mexico, I would say also in Guatemala and Peru, in which we also compete with larger players in that country as well. So what we'll do in order to ensure that we might have, I mean, that we might lose last year, again, has to do with the initiative that we put in front of the customer this quarter, right? We need to reinforce the service. We need to prioritize better the products. We need to redefine the processes that we are in which we originate not only loans but also saving accounts and some other products. So once you have a better service with a much broader product offering at a good price, of course, we think that that's a very good proposition for this customer segment. So again, it has to do pretty much with service, with everything what I said during my presentation. But again, in the second part of this year, as we ramp up back again, with the marketing efforts for the second half of the year, we want to continue growing and gaining share that we have might lost in the last 12 months.
Regarding your question on NIM, our expectation for the year end is to be around 52% and 54%, and the impact that we had in the first quarter was mostly related to the average loan portfolio and a lower yield in Banco Compartamos during the quarter. We expect to increase this NIM to reach our guidance, and most of that change will come with our expectations to grow the loan portfolio during the year.
And your final question had to do with provisions, and I would talk about, as we always said, growing with quality is our biggest priority. So we've focused ourselves on controlling asset quality. Again, the short-term vintages are at 24-month low. So we feel very comfortable that the provisions are something that will be maintained for the coming quarter. But again, we need to be on top of the asset quality in order to avoid the provisioning level to move back up as it happened in 2016 and 17.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Jason Mullen, Scotiabank.
Yes, hi. Thank you. My question is about growing with these clients. And look, the clients that you've seen, this improvement in March, are these clients new to Compartamos? Are they, obviously, they're probably, I'm imagining, they're probably using the services of competitors. Are you changing the product to offer larger loans at the start? Is it just the service component? How would you define the strategy to grow in terms of the product and service? I mean, what's going to drive this growth in the second half of the year? Have you adjusted your product to the demands of the clients would be one question. And my second question is just on Concredito. We know it's under consideration to be approved. If you can talk about thoughts on how you would finance that purchase, if approved. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jason. In terms of growing for the second half of the year, I mean, we've always we have always been the best option in the low income segment, not only in service but also in terms and conditions. We lost that last year. We originated the loans with more hassle. We deteriorate service, and this is something that we are improving in this first quarter. So first, service is something that we are on top of. Services provided by the loan officers. We are now with a full sales force that we require for this for the growth that we expect for this year. And the strategies for growth for the year and first have to do with retain our best customers. Now, the best customers for Banco Compartamos are not only the best, they've been with us for a longer period of time, and they have the higher loans outstanding. So we want to protect them from any other competitor. Secondly, we lost market share, certainly, to some other competitors. We want to become back again the best alternative, not only in service, but in terms and conditions. So gaining share of wallet of existing customer is the second avenue of growth for the second part of the year. And finally, once we have a better service, better terms and conditions than the ones we have available today, for the second part of the year, we want to attract new customers, not only from the competitive market, but some customers that might not be today with some other competitor. So those are the three biggest avenues for growth for the year end of 2018.
And this is Enrique. Just to put this also in perspective regarding our strategy for 2018, as you can see, what Patricio is explaining is what we have been saying, and I believe that the growth that we are having in March has to do with the first part of the solution, which is fixing the customer service problems that we have. So that was going to give us a stop in the losses that we were experiencing during last year, losing clients, I mean. And the second part of the strategy has to do with improving our product offer, which is what is going to give us the results in the recovery of the growth for the second semester or the second half of this year. So this is in line with what we have been telling you. And March growth is really marginal, but it has a lot to do with the first part of the strategy, which is fixing the service that we were providing to our customers.
Regarding ConCrédito, as Enrique mentioned, we are waiting to have the approval of the authorities, and we expect that to happen in the next quarter. We're planning to finance that, as we have explained previously, with a combination of different actions. One, we have 300 million pesos in Gentera's accounts already. Then we also plan to raise a dividend from the bank to Gentera of 1,450 million pesos. And the rest, which is an amount of 850 million pesos, we are going to fund it with bank loans, and it would probably be a combination of a couple of commercial banks that have showed interest in funding our holding company, and probably also a component from a loan extended from our bank to the holding company.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Claudio Anavente, Santander.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity of asking questions. I have one, and it's kind of a follow-up. If the net interest margin drop was explained by providing smaller average tickets, I guess it's because these are relatively new loans, then the cost of risk could have dropped on the back of still not having evidence of the future performance of these new vintages. And regarding the more mature portfolio, we have seen the NPL ratio spike again. That said, how much of the portfolio could we expect to be written off in the coming quarters? Or when can we have evidence that the more mature portfolio has been already cleaned up? Thank you.
Okay, in terms of the vintages, again, as I said before, the short-term vintages for every product in Mexico, it's performing at the best level in 24 months. So this is why we are confident that asset quality will continue to come down as we write off the vintages that haven't matured to the 180 days that will happen in this second quarter. So we expect a better asset quality or NPL over 90 days by June, July, as we mentioned since October. This is the normal process in which you originate loans. The new originations are doing well, as I said, with the short-term vintages, and the existing loans that were originated in 2017 will be written off during the first half of this year. So again, Claudia, the NIM also dropped, as you said, because since we are not gaining as many new customers, we are keeping the best customers with higher volumes and better terms and conditions. As you know, once you mature as customer of Banco Compartamos, you reach to higher loans at a cheaper rate. But you also perform very well once you are in that bucket. So it's a lower NIM, but a strong NIM after provision that should be considered. And this is why what you saw in the quarter, the portfolio contracted 10%, and we managed to grow the NIM in comparison with the first quarter of 2017.
Thank you, Pablo. And just a follow-up, and why did the NPL grow so much on a Q-on-Q basis?
Sorry?
Why did the NPL ratio expand so much on a Q-on-Q basis?
Again, I mean, it has to do, as you remember, the first quarter, the last quarter, the fourth quarter of 2017, we had an extraordinary charge-off for Crédito Comerciante, so that brought the NPL down due to that extraordinary charge-off of Crédito Comerciante bad loans that were originated in 2017. Once we wrote off those, the vintages that were over 90 up to 170-90 days are the ones that are picking up the NPL. But again, we were not concerned about asset quality as this cleansing process will happen in the second quarter of 2018.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Frederick Demarais, UBS.
Good morning, everyone. Enrique, Patricio, Mario, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of follow-ups. The first one on the Crédito Comerciante. We saw a large write-off in the fourth quarter, but in the first quarter, the NPL is back around 8%. Is it a level that you're happy with? Is it a sustainable level? Do you think we could have another write-off? You mentioned that 2017 weak loans will be written off in the first semester of 2018. So is that a line that we should follow for the second quarter? And then my second question is on the distribution. So you're mentioning you're doing a lot of efforts on the salespeople, rehiring, retraining, retaining. And I'm curious to see, how do you track this on your side internally? Do you have indicators of client satisfaction, of turnover of loan officers? How does it work pragmatically on your side? Thank you.
Okay, perfect. In terms of Crédito Comerciante, as we said since October, this was a product that needs to be redesigned. The focus of all of us have been how to keep asset quality in control. In Crédito Comerciante, as you remember, we said that 4 to 7% it's asset quality, adequate asset quality for smaller group sizes. We are not
confident, I mean, we are not comfortable still with the level of NPL that we have in that product. So it, you shouldn't be worried if the portfolio of Crédito Comerciante shrinks this year, but improves in asset quality. So as the volume decreases, you might see still pressure in the NPL, not necessarily because the short-term vintages are doing worse, simply because the volume of portfolio and the effort that we put in this, in the growth of this piece of business, it's not our top priority for this year, but controlling the NPL. So again, for the coming quarters, what you should expect is smaller volumes in this product specifically, but with better asset quality, and that's something that you should focus on for the coming, I mean, not for the monthly figures of the CMBB. In terms of distribution, again, no, we hired personnel, and how we are incentivized this personnel have to do with the service that we provided. First, how many loans you disburse on time, right? We lost traction of this figure, and it came down to very low points. Today, we are disbursing on time over 80% of our loans. No, that was a huge improvement, because last year, in some months, we touched like 30%. That's first thing. Secondly, how many visits are you on time on your weekly visits? And that's something that we also incentivize to the sales force. We need to assure that the loan officer is present, making sure that everyone within the group is performing well. We lost traction again in that indicator, and now it's over 60% in April. Finally, I mean, as you know, the group need to pay on time, and in case one single person with the group is not paying, the rest of the group has to be, I mean, there's a solidarity obligation. So we are making sure that the installment it's complete during the group's meeting, no? And that's also an indicator that we are making sure that the loan officers have an incentive. With that, we assure that the loan officers are present, that are disbursing the loans on time, and making sure that the group dynamic is doing well, and those are the three things that have improved service and have improved also asset quality.
That's great, Patricio. That's very clear. And this is something that you track on a daily, weekly, monthly basis?
I mean, the incentive is monthly, but they have okay. Indicators on a daily basis.
That's great. And does it change their remuneration, or how is the incentive linked to their reality?
Sorry?
When you talk about those incentives, what part of the remuneration of the loan officer is linked to those three indicators, for example? How relevant is it for them?
No, I mean, it's relevant. In last year, just to make it clear, last year, the incentives were linked to savings, were linked to remittances, to insurance, to credit, and to be honest, was not 100% clear how you earn your bonus. Today it's much clearer for them. All those indicators are linked to growth, how many customers you have, and the asset quality, of course, of your portfolio. It's the focus of everyone in the sales force. Those indicators, again, they are on top of NPL, but they reinforce. If you do those three indicators, it's for certain that you have good asset quality.
Yeah, and also Patricio and the team in the bank made these changes since the beginning of the year. It was in January. So when I speak about fixing the problems that we had in customer service. This is specifically what I'm referring to. So those kind of actions within our action plan were put in place since January, and the results we are showing now are consequence of that actions that Patricio is just explaining.
Thank you. Thank you for the comment. That's very clear.
Thank you very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your touchtone phone now. Our next question will come from Carlos Macedo, Goldman Sachs.
Hey, thanks. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking questions. A couple of questions. First, I think, Patricia, you said that the loans, that your loan officers are now at capacity, at the right size that you need to grow. What capacity are they operating? Are they operating at 60% capacity, 70% capacity? Just to try to get an idea of how much growth can you put into the system without having to expand your expenses, given they're such a big part of the drain on your profitability. Second question, on Peru, you know, a lot of growth there. It keeps coming, doing a great job on the individual side, the group side. But we know this is a cyclical business. Is there any sign that there could be a cycle coming? Is the penetration so low that you can still keep going at this pace for a while without having to worry about that? How should we think about that business in Peru? Thank you.
Okay, in terms of productivity, Jason, how we measure this is our loan officers today handle around 340 customers per loan officer. The historic high of Banco Compartamos has been around 390. So there's a close to 15% improvement in productivity that we want to tap on in order to grow this year without having to increase the sales force much more than the sales force that we had at the end of the quarter.
Yeah, and Carlos, regarding Peru, we are really happy with the performance that our Peru business is having. And yes, I can tell you that not only in terms of the growth in customers, specifically in the group lending methodology, but also in terms of the quality of the assets that they are acquiring, I feel comfortable that we can maintain, at least for the rest of the year, very similar growth rates that we are having now. So even if in the total we are growing around 20%, I can tell you that the group lending methodology is growing over 30%, and that's because the demand and the unserved population that we have in Peru that are really valuing the product offer that the group lending methodology provides.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Carlos Rivera, Citi.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity to ask questions. My first question is regarding your strategy, the way you put it in two phases, just to trying to get a little bit more color there. So on the fixing things part of that, the agents being on all of that, has this been deployed in all locations or what percentage of them are already there? Just trying to think how much upside from just these easier low-hanging fruit is there. And on the other part of the strategy, improving actually the product offering, have you started testing that already in any location, and what will be the timeline of deploying that to national scale? That will be my first question. And my second question is regarding risk to the regulatory framework or the outlook in general. In case of Andrés Manuel wins, do you see any changes to regulation, any caps on interest rates? What would need to happen? Would that be an attribution and directly of the president through the ministries, or anything else needed to happen, or any other risks in that scenario? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carlos. This is Patricio. In terms of the strategy, since we took the position, we understood that we have actually three phases
The first phase that happened in the actually the fourth quarter of 2017 was to design the solutions that we thought were necessary to turn around the business, right? So it was a work that we did during the fourth quarter, again, working on the incentives, in the training, in the marketing efforts, and everything what I said during my presentation. Once I had all of those improvements, during the first quarter, we launched, again, incentives, we launched the marketing campaigns, and we are ramping up the improvements in the product offering, not only in Crédito Comerciante, but Mujer and the individual product as well. As you know, the improvements that we've done in the product offering take like 4 months in order to be fully deployed. Due to the duration of our portfolio, you renew loans under the new conditions, and we are doing so as we speak. And this is something that will go through the entire second quarter of 2018. And this is why we said, okay, the first phase was designing. The second phase was implementing nationwide the improvements. And once you have all those improvements in front of the customer, you can go to the third phase, which will be the second half of this year, in which we will be focused on growth. And this is a little bit the game plan for the year.
And Carlos, let me talk a little bit about the context. So we believe that it is still not clear who of the candidate is going to win. So, but anyway, what we know that Mexico needs is to maintain the economic discipline, to have a strong rule of law, and to have a strong education system. And that's what we believe any candidate will have to bring to the context in Mexico. In our side, and talking about Gentera in our business, we believe that we are having this 2018, we will have a bumpy year. Actually, we are having a bumpy year. But we need to do what we need to do, and what we need to do has to do with our clients, has to do with our product offer, has to do with being the best offer in the market. So we will keep on working on that. We will keep on working, very important, in efficiencies, because we believe that efficiencies will also bring better and cheaper products to our customers. And having good products and cheap products with the lowest interest rate possible with the model, we believe we are strong enough to welcome any candidate that will be our next president.
Okay, just to follow up there, so I'm not saying who will win for now, but is this now an attribution to set capital interest rate? Is this an attribution of the Ministry of Finance? Is that on Banxico? What would need to happen for any changes in this front to happen?
Actually, today, the central bank has the authority to set caps in not only rates, but fees, commissions for the entire system. As you've seen, Mexico has followed the free market path, and with the institutions that we have, the central bank, which they have the authority, we think that we will follow this path in the coming years. Again, if it happens, let's say capping rates in the Mexican market, Compartamos is the best positioned institution due to the size, due to the cost of funding, due to the efficiencies that we have. So, of course, depending on the regulation and the size of it, but we really think, as Enrique said, that we should be focused on executing right our strategy and again, be close to the regulators as we normally are, not only the regulators, but the media, academics, and all the opinion leaders
in order to have or to see the benefits of the free market for this segment.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Yuri Fernandez, J.P. Morgan.
Thank you, gentlemen. I had a question also on your strategy and notably on your distribution channels. I noted here that you closed some branches this quarter and also increased the usage of third-party channels. So just would like to know if this is a trend and how this fits on your strategy, because I would say this was an issue for some clients, the lack of flexibility on the distribution. So that's my first question. And the second one is about your recurring profitability with those lower margins that you believe it should go up, I think, as volumes stabilize and lower cost of risk. How are you seeing your sustainable ROE for this year? Are you still targeting the 50% ROE guidance for the year? How are you seeing the profitability level for Gentera? Thank you.
Okay. In terms of infrastructure, as you saw last year, we were very aggressive on the deployment of our branch network. Now we moved from 135 branches to 270 branches that were required to deploy the savings product. On top of the savings product, we required our customers to use our network in order to have that experience in their process as we move along through that path. Of course, channeling our customers to our own infrastructure, in some cases, our network was not the most convenient point of entry for the customer, and that generated some friction. So since January, the use of the network, not only our proprietary network, which is branches and Yastas, is not longer mandatory. If you want to use another point of entry, which is more convenient to you, that's good for us in order to have an improvement in the customer satisfaction for the end user. So what you will have, what you'll see today is now we have this hybrid network that we think is necessary, not only for disbursing loans, but for collecting loans, but also very necessary, our branches and correspondents, in order to maintain the business, the saving business, as we move along. So again, the only change that you should expect is that it's no longer mandatory for our customers to use our proprietary network. So this is why you might see some movement to other channels, which will make increase the fee expense that we have in the P&L for this coming year.
On ROE, as you well described, our first quarter result is above our full-year guidance. But at this point, and as we mentioned in our remarks, we think that we should still be prudent and keep our guidance. We need to recover growth. Again, we have these good signals of clients and portfolio in this month. But we need to make sure that we restore growth as expected, mostly in the second semester. And we also need to make sure that we have stable evidence that the risk behavior that we have observing that has been described by Patricio is sustainable. We think that we will keep our guidance at this point, and that we need to be observing it very closely.
Just to follow up here, so on your guidance, I ask this because like your margins, they were pretty low this quarter, but you were able to compensate this with lower cost of risk. So your risk-adjusted margin, they were slightly higher than last quarter. If you were to have like higher cost of risk, do you think you would be able to increase your pricing, whatever, just to compensate this effect? So your risk-adjusted margin would be stable or slightly higher?
No, the pitch going forward is not necessarily to increase rates. Actually, the trend is downwards. As you decrease your NIM, Of course, you need to offset that decrease by increasing volume and customers, and that's what will offset this trend.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our last question will come from Carlos Gomez, HSBC, New York.
Thank you very much. So the last two questions are, can you give us an estimate, updated estimate, about your market share in Mexico and how it has evolved? And second, can you give us an update on Concredito? You gave us a few numbers when you announced the acquisition in December. We are now at the end of March. Surely you have more updated information. Can you tell us how they are doing in terms of growth, profitability, and book value? Thank you.
In terms of market share, if you compare Banco Compartamos with the rest of the microfinance institutions that compete in the low-income segment, we hold like 40% of this segment. Of course, we share part of those customers with some other institutions, but 40% of the customers served in these low-income segments are customers of Banco Compartamos.
Yeah, and in terms of Concredito, as we said, we are in the process of getting the formal approval from the Mexican Antitrust Commission, and everything looks good. We believe we shouldn't and we cannot provide further information until the transaction is closed.
All right, and the 40% that you mentioned earlier, is that for the formal banking system or banks and sofomes, or an estimate including informal lenders?
And, I mean, it's for those that report to the ProDesarrollo Network, which includes formal and informal. Again, the difficulty of having a clear number is that some of the players are not regulated and they don't report figures to any board or institution.
Okay, and that is 40% today. And a year ago, let's say?
Same, like 42 or something like that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Gabriel Nobrega, UBS.
Hi, everyone. Good morning, and thank you for allowing us to make another question on our side. During the quarter, we saw that fee income actually contracted despite a strong contraction in your fee expenses. Could you just give us more color on what happened on the income side, if this was a seasonal trend, or should we continue to see more pressure to your fee income throughout the year? Thank you.
What we expect for full year is that the net fee income will remain flat. We are having, as you mentioned, some effects on the fee generation, which mostly was affected this quarter by late payment fees. And on the other side, as we explained in our remarks, on the fee expenses, we don't expect further reduction. But our objective for the full year is to keep net fees at the same level of 2017.
All right. That's very clear. Thank you.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you for your time and interest in this call. Really, your support during good times as well as difficult times is very important for us, and believe that we will continue to be full concentrated on the three priorities we described, and we feel really optimistic about the opportunities that the present challenges will bring to us. So thank you very much, and have a nice day.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, this conference has now concluded. You may disconnect your phone lines and have a great rest of the week. Thank you.